Chapter 3. The Golden Age of AI. By the end of the 1950s, a new field of study had been established and the Golden Age of AI had begun. There were many AI systems built in this period, like Shirdloo, Strips and Shakey. Compared to modern computers, the machines used to build these systems were incredibly limited, slow and hard to use. The tools that we depend on now for developing programs were not available then, and even if they had been, could not have run on these computers. AI researchers often had to work at night because these computers were used for more important work during the day. They also had to invent all sorts of clever programming tricks to make the programs work at all. In the summer of 1956, the field of AI was given its name by a brilliant young American academic called John McCarthy. During the 1950s and 1960s, McCarthy developed a range of ideas in computing that we cannot imagine not knowing about today. One of the most famous things he developed was Lisp, a programming language popular with AI researchers, which is still regularly taught and used across the world. While working as a young professor at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire in 1955, McCarthy applied to the Rockefeller Institute for money to organise a summer school for international researchers with similar interests. The Dartmouth Summer School brought together most of the researchers who would be key to the future development of AI. As well as academics, people from the fields of industry, government, the military, and other important groups attended the summer school. The USA typically developed computer technology by having people from different fields working together, which would establish it as the international leader in AI for years to come. When applying for the Rockefeller money, McCarthy had to give a name to the summer school, and he chose artificial intelligence. Some people later regretted this choice of name, as artificial also means fake, which can sound negative. And many of the tasks that AI researchers work on do not require any intelligence to do them. Despite this, and an absence of any real progress in AI by the end of the summer school, a new academic field with McCarthy's chosen name was here to stay. The period following the Dartmouth summer school was one of exciting developments and fast progress for AI. Four people who attended would go on to be among the most important researchers in AI. McCarthy himself started an AI laboratory at Stanford University, in the heart of what is now Silicon Valley. Marvin Minsky started the AI lab at MIT. Alan Newell and Herb Simon went to Carnegie Mellon University. But by the middle of the 1970s, the good times were over for AI. As we have seen, general AI is a large and imprecise goal, which cannot easily be approached directly. During the Golden Age, instead of starting to build a complete general intelligent system, researchers tried to identify the various capabilities that seemed to be required for general purpose AI, and to build systems to show these different capabilities. The idea was that if these systems could be built, it would be possible to put them all together later. The first of these capabilities was perception, which seemed simple, but is in fact extremely difficult to achieve. A machine that is going to act intelligently needs to be able to get information about its environment. Human perception of the world comes from sight, sound, touch, smell, and taste. As a result, one of the AI research areas involved building perception sensors. Robots today use a wide range of artificial sensors to give them information about their environment, but building these complex sensors is only part of the problem. However good a digital camera is, it simply breaks down the image it is seeing into squares and gives each one a number to show colour and brightness. So a robot with the best digital camera will, in the end, only receive a long list of numbers. The challenge is to read those numbers and understand what it is seeing. This has so far proved to be more difficult than actually building the sensors. Another key capability for general intelligence systems seems to be the ability to learn from experience, also called machine learning. This is not like human learning, it is about learning from and making predictions based on data. For example, machine learning has had recent success in programs that can recognize faces in pictures. This is done by providing lots of pictures with labels next to the people that appear in them. The program should then learn to correctly identify a person in a picture without the label. Problem solving and planning are two capabilities that can be linked to each other and to programs behaving intelligently. Both capabilities require a precise series of actions to achieve a goal. The challenge is to arrange these actions correctly. Playing a board game such as chess is an example of this. The goal is to win the game. The actions are all the possible ways to move. The challenge is to work out which move to choose. One of the biggest difficulties in problem solving and planning is that while the programming idea might be easy, when you come to write the steps, there are just too many possibilities. Reasoning or using logic is perhaps the highest capability linked to intelligence, as it involves gaining new knowledge from facts already known. Automated reasoning is all about giving computers the capability to reason logically. This idea has long been an important part of AI, as we will see in Chapter 6, but it is no longer its main goal. Finally, there is natural language understanding, or programs that can interact in ordinary natural human languages like English and Chinese. Programs are at present coded using an artificial language such as Python, Java, or C, but these are much simpler than natural human languages. So while it is possible to produce precise rules for computer languages, it has proved impossible to do this with natural languages, which are used in everyday situations and change too easily to fit such rules. Shurdloo was one of the great AI systems of the Golden Age. Its strange name comes from the way letters were arranged on printing machines of the time. Developed by Stanford University student Terry Winograd in 1971, Shurdloo aimed to show two key capabilities: problem solving and natural language understanding. The problem-solving part of Shurdloo was based on one of AI's most famous experimental scenarios, the blocks world. To make the problem easier to manage, a simulated environment containing a number of coloured objects was used, rather than trying to build a real robot. Problem-solving in the Shurdloo blocks world involves arranging objects using a simulated robot arm according to instructions from a user. Its limitation is that you can only use a small range of actions. Pick up object X from the table. Place object X on the table. Pick up object X from object Y. Place object X on top of object Y. Everything that happens in the blocks world is reduced to these actions, but the robot is limited in what it is able to do. For example, the robot arm will only be able to pick up object X from the table if object X is on the table and the robot arm is empty. The blocks world is probably the most studied scenario in the whole of AI because we can imagine robots doing such tasks in the real world. But the blocks world as it appears in Shurdloo is extremely limited as a scenario for developing useful AI techniques. Firstly, the blocks world is closed, so the only thing that causes change is Shurdloo itself. This would not be true in the real world. Secondly, and perhaps more importantly, the block's world is simulated. Shirdloo is not actually picking up objects and moving them around with a robot arm. Getting robots to move even simple objects in the real world is still a very difficult challenge today. The system also uses a model of the world, modelling how its actions might affect this world. But it never actually looks at the real world to build its model, or to check that it is correct. Researchers argued that it ignored difficult problems that a robot would actually face. So, although logical and easy to explain, the block's world is limited by only trying to deal with a small part of the robot's problems. However, one of the things people most liked about Shirdloo was that not only could the user give instructions and receive answers in ordinary English, but conversations were richer and more natural than with a system like Eliza. But it became clear that Shirdloo was only able to produce rich conversations because they were linked to the controlled scenario of the block's world. Despite all these limitations, Shirdloo was still an important moment in the development of AI systems. A, B, C, arm, table. C, B, A, arm, table. The block's world. A robot arm working in a simulated environment.